Being a ministry wife is a role without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, and I also am a pastor's wife, and I want to welcome you to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women in various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is my very good friend, Amy Dodd. Amy serves with Athletes in Action, the sports ministry of Crew, in Raleigh, North Carolina. She's been with AIA since 2009, ministering at the University of Virginia and at the University of Alabama. Amy has a passion for seeing others understand and grow in the love of God and desires to see them flourish in their God-given gifts for His glory and others' good. Amy joins me today to share about parachurch ministry and how we as church leaders can encourage and help those who are serving in parachurch ministries all around us. So here, friends, is my conversation with Amy Dodd. Welcome, Amy Dodd, to the podcast.
Thanks, Christine. So good to be here. I love your podcast. I've listened to many.
Well, I love you. You are one of my best friends, so I'm glad to get to have you on the podcast. Finally.
Well, you're kind. I know I've evaded you long enough, I guess.
I know, and I don't know why, because you're amazing. And what we're going to talk about today, you're super passionate about. So finally, here we are.
That we are. You have some amazing guests on your podcast that I've just learned so much from.
Yeah. It's pretty cool to get to talk to women all over the place and hear what they're doing. So tell us about what you're doing. I've already let people know who you are, but you have a very specific and I think unique ministry. So tell us a little bit about Athletes in Action.
Yeah, I've been serving with Athletes in Action for 13 years. It's the sports ministry of Crew, if you're familiar with that. I'm in the campus division. There's a lot of components to Athletes in Action. There's the pro level that our staff work with. We have global missions overseas. We have different trips, but I am in maybe our biggest division, which is campus division, and that's working with athletes and coaches on the campus level, collegiate level, basically evangelism and discipleship. So you're on campus ministering to athletes and coaches, being in their space, sharing Christ with them and helping them walk with the Lord.
And your campuses that you're working with are what?
So I've recently moved to Raleigh. I'm at Shaw University and NC State.
Yeah.
Are my focuses.
And most people have heard of NC State, but not everyone's heard of Shaw. So tell us a little bit about Shaw.
Yeah, Shaw is an HBCU, historically Black college and university. It's much smaller, but it's a mile and a half away from NC State campus. And it's a really old school. I think, I don't know my exact date, I should look it up, but like 1860s.
Wow.
Is when it came about. Yeah. And there have been a lot of influential people that have graduated from Shaw.
Okay. You love being at Shaw.
I do. Yes. I love the vibe on campus. The other day I was with an athlete outside and I heard the marching band and they were practicing and they were actually going around campus. It was a lot of fun.
So working in a parachurch ministry like Athletes in Action, it's hard for us sometimes to know what is a typical day like for you. What do you do on a daily basis? So can you walk us through a typical day?
Yeah, I have to explain this a lot. There's a lot of people that don't know exactly what we do. I think my family finally understands what I do after 13 years. But it's being on campus in spaces where the athletes are, meeting with different athletes that want to meet and talk about faith and sports and life and how it all combines. So it's a lot of sharing Christ with others. It's a lot of walking with them, helping them grow in their relationship with God, helping them know how to articulate their faith to their classmates and teammates, giving them spaces to do that and environments to grow and make Christ known. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what people think our job is, which that's my favorite part of the job is interacting with athletes and coaches. But then you also have working with other staff and growing. AI gives us amazing opportunities to grow in our ministry skills and leadership development. I'm probably on, you know, 2 Zoom calls a week at least with the other staff from around the country, learning from them, sharing ideas of mm-hmm. what's working and what's not, and it's encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you facilitate a lot of Bible studies in the evenings for students. I mean, you're not always the one teaching them, but you're helping the students learn to lead their teammates in studying the Bible.
Yes, a lot of evening things, whether that's going to their games or helping them. We have a large group weekly meeting where they can attend. But then also, yeah, Bible studies, helping them lead their own team Bible studies. Good times.
So one thing that I've learned from watching you and that I really have come to appreciate about parachurch ministry is that parachurch ministries are so specific sometimes that they have access to people that the normal person might not. Like for you, you have access to D1 athletes and coaches, and you get to share the gospel with them. I think that's really incredible. So what do you see as some of the advantages of parachurch ministry, like what you're doing?
Yeah, I think being full-time in ministry and not having another job is that I can manipulate my schedule and work my schedule to their busy schedules and accommodate their free times. And so whenever they're not in practice or class, yeah, I'm very flexible in that. And so I'm really thankful. So we can go to them instead of, you know, maybe the church is, you know, we're always inviting them to our things, but we can actually physically go to where they are. Also, I think it's helpful that Athletes in Action is non-denominational or interdenominational crew is. And so there's opportunities for athletes and coaches who maybe fall under a certain denomination that they wouldn't enter a certain church or feel comfortable going to church, and they would feel more comfortable coming to our weekly meeting or a Bible study or meeting with us one-on-one, because it's just a relationship. It's just a conversation over coffee or a conversation over a meal, and not this intimidation of maybe walking into a building.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of athletes now who do not grow up going to church, and so they don't know what that's like. They're intimidated to go. I mean, I even think back to when I was playing, and one of my teammates, I invited her to go to church with me, and she goes, "No way. If I entered that place would burn down." And I was like, "What?" But by the end of the season, she did come to church with me, I think once or twice. But that, again, like, there's that intimidation factor. And so we are, you know, able to go to their practices, able to build relationship. And so they're more apt to talk about spiritual matters.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And you being friends with you, I see you get so pumped up when you get to share the gospel with athletes. Like, it is like you're floating around after, which I love that that's one of your passions. I'm wondering, what are some of the issues that your student athletes are facing currently, and how are you seeking to bring the truth of the gospel into those situations?
Yeah. Thanks for being one of those friends that after I'm so pumped up, I can call or text and say, "Hey, I just shared the gospel with a girl and she accepted Christ, or she's thinking about it." Yeah, I get really jazzed because God changes lives, right? Like, he transforms lives. The gospel transforms lives. And I have the privilege of seeing that firsthand and being on the front lines of witnessing God working in people's hearts and drawing them to himself, and just the ways they ask questions or share deep hurts or hardships in their lives. And so, as you know, having conversations with them, you kind of see below the surface.
Yeah.
And a lot of the issues come from, I think, identity. So their identity, they see themselves as only an athlete, or their identity is in their education, or even socially, social media, trying to navigate that, and the pressures of being a part of the college culture, the athlete culture, which a lot of times is the party scene or the hookup culture, is a definite issue and hard for them. And so they need to be reminded of who they are. They need to be reminded of who God is, or even their understanding of who God is. And so to grow in that, I think also God's grace, right? They're very performance driven. And as an athlete, you always have to keep reaching these new levels in order to make it on the playing field. Like, you have to reach certain numbers or even to be looked at to get off the bench. And so there's always performing, always having to get better, better, and better. And so they're just not understanding grace and forgiveness. And so they think they have to perform with God. I think another issue too is then maybe the opposite way of, like, if they don't know who God is, they're not really understanding their need or their own sin that separates them from God.
Can you maybe share a story of how you've seen God move in a student's life over the past few years?
Yeah. There was one particular athlete who told me that her parents didn't take her to church. I mean, they usually compete. If they're competing at a high level, they'll compete on the weekend, so they don't go to church. But she's from California, and her parents specifically told her, "We didn't teach you anything, you know, about faith, because we want you to choose whatever you want." So it's kind of that background. Well, she had some awesome teammates around her, some Christian teammates who are still trying to figure out how to walk with the Lord and how to apply the gospel to their life and their sport. Well, we had a Bible study, maybe eight years in a row or something. It was a pretty consistent Bible study. And they invited her to the Bible study, and she's like, "Well, I don't really want to come." So she kind of said no a couple times. And then we ended up in the Bible study having times for the girls to share their testimonies or just life stories. And so one teammate was going to share her life story. So she said, "Hey, would you like to come? I'm sharing about myself tonight." And of course she said yes to that. She loves her teammate. She wants to hear about her life. So she joins us. And then she realizes, oh, this is okay. I kind of like this. I get to meet new people. We're talking about deep things. She's very intellectual, wants to talk about deep matters of life. And she's like, I can do that here. And she kept coming back. And then maybe 6 months later, accepted Christ. And then influenced the next generation or the next athletes coming in who didn't know the Lord. One of them accepted Christ. Ended up going on a mission trip. And so it's just really neat to see just kind of the multiplication of Jesus just transforming lives on that team.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. Well, we're producing this podcast for Ministry Wives. And one of the things that has kind of been on my mind, especially getting to know you, is how churches and parachurch ministries can work well together in reaching the community. Well, so you and I were in Charlottesville together until you moved, which you shouldn't have moved, but you did. And not that you shouldn't have, but I didn't want you to. But you know, we as a church are trying to reach students, and you are trying to reach students through Athletes in Action. And so I'd like to talk about that, how just for us as ministry wives, how we can help parachurch ministries and be a support to them. So could you first give an example of how sometimes churches can make parachurch ministries feel lesser in terms of ministry?
I love this question. It's a tough question. I've been blessed to be a part of churches that really understand parachurch ministry. And so I'm really thankful for that. Like, I'm thankful that I felt like worked well together, and I felt very supported and encouraged. I did come up with a couple ways that maybe not, I don't know if I'd use the word lesser, but maybe misunderstood.
Okay.
And the first one is kind of like, they don't quite know what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's ministry, it's, again, people don't know what I'm doing every day. They just think I'm getting coffee with athletes, which, yes, I do a lot of that, but it's more than
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to know the heart of the leader and to have conversations and just hear from the church and church leaders and other women in ministry, their heart for college ministry and how can we do it together.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the pitfalls is, and I've done this, is very territorial.
Yes.
Over my students. And I still sometimes say my athlete, my coaches, the Lord has convicted me to be like, no, they're his. They're his athletes. They're his coaches. They're his college students. And I love that they're going to church. I love that they're involved in different ministries or other college ministries of the church. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. That's really good. So as ministry wives who are listening, how can we support and champion parachurch ministers like you?
I think coming alongside me, asking questions about my ministry, showing that you care, praying for me. When I know someone is praying for me and praying for the athletes that I'm working with, it's so encouraging. Also, I've felt that there's a lot of relational connection to women who are in ministry in church, is that we share a lot of the same discouragements. We share a lot of the same celebrations. We speak the same language to an extent. And so that to me has been the most encouraging, is that, somebody knows or gets me and what I'm dealing with and my discouragements or lies that I'm believing. I need someone to come alongside me and speak truth to me.
Mm-hmm. Are there things that churches can do to quote unquote see parachurch ministries or support them in general? I'm just thinking about, you know, as a church, as church leaders, are there things that they can do to help this?
I've found there's just been, so one small example is during COVID, we have not been able to be on campus for our large group meeting. And so a local church has offered up their space. And so we meet in one of the rooms in the local church, and that has been so nice and very helpful. So sharing resources.
Mm.
Also, I've borrowed countless times the mic and I call it karaoke machine, but basically the mic and speaker.
Yeah.
For our events from church, and I'm always getting on and I'm, you know, emailing again, hey, can I borrow Big Bertha again? I called her Big Bertha. Can I borrow her again? So it's just, and chairs. So just space, resources, opening up what the church owns for our use is really helpful. Again, prayer. When I bring athletes to church, I love when church members come over and talk to them. That is so important because many of them have not been to church or don't understand what church is, and it's the people and it's being known and loved in that area. And so even asking them questions beyond just their sport, but getting to know them as a person is really important and is really beneficial for me when I see my friends at church or just different people coming and talking to the athletes that I bring.
Mm-hmm. This is sort of a side question, but I always, when you were in Charlottesville and you would bring students, or we just had some college athletes come to church who were clearly college athletes, meaning they're like 7 feet tall or, you know, or we know them because we have a national championship basketball team and when I'm showing up at church. And it can be kind of weird. Like sometimes I sense they're like, are people going to see me as a person? And sometimes people didn't interact with them as people. They interact with them as a celebrity kind of thing. So can you maybe speak to us about how we interact with people that we recognize from sporting events?
Yes. This is where I go in and I like try to protect the athletes. And I'm like, I don't need to protect them. But it's because I'm worried people are only going to view them as the awesome athlete. They're famous in the college town.
Right.
And yes, that's great. You can ask them one question about their sport because, you know, that's what you know them as. But to get to know them as a person and to help me share the gospel with them in ways that affect their identity. Again, going back to identity,
yes.
If we're only asking questions about their sport and them as an athlete, that's how they're going to view themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, I want to switch gears a little bit because you are serving in ministry as a single woman, which I love. I love that you have given your life to serving the Lord, no matter what. Like, you don't have to be married to do that. And God has used you powerfully, and that has nothing to do with your marital status. But I would love to talk about that because that is a unique thing. Or maybe it's not unique, but we just don't hear about it as much. And so I'd love to talk about that. What are the joys for you in serving as a single woman in this ministry? And what are the struggles that you have?
Well, thank you for championing me as a single woman in ministry. I really appreciate it. Your encouragement has been invaluable to me. So thanks, Christine. I love what I do. I feel like the Lord is totally, given me a passion to see athletes and coaches know the Lord and make him known and live it out. And I was trying to think about this. I'm like, I don't know exactly how that came about. I mean, I do a little bit, but I was thinking, and I remember praying for a missionary growing up, and it was the single woman missionary. I always wanted to pray for Gretchen Carter in family devotions. And then a friend of ours who lives in Charlottesville is a single woman who's been in ministry, was a missionary. And those women, I look up to them, and I'm so thankful for them that they are the example that they are, because you can believe the lies that you have to be married or eventually get married in order to really have an impact. And that is an absolute lie.
Yes.
I think one of the joys is I'm available, and I have a greater capacity to meet with athletes, to meet with people, to give them time during the day, or on a whim, go out to dinner with them. And I don't have to check in with anyone. I don't have to consult with anybody. I don't have kids at home, or I don't have to pick them up from school. You know, there is time barrier. There's more freedom. And so that's a joy, and I'm thankful for. I think another joy is I can relate to them in their wanting to date or wanting to be married. So they'll open up to me because I am single. They'll open up to me about the boys that they're liking or DMing on Instagram or whatever, which is fun. But I, at the same time, they also need married couples to speak into their life too about this. So there's both, but I'm thankful that I can relate to them in that and share kind of the struggles that I've had with singleness at times, but also the joys and the goodness of being single and waiting on the Lord and putting your hope in the Lord and not in someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So those have been really life-giving conversations, and also just confirming from the Lord of like, he's still using me. Like, these conversations are really good.
Mm-hmm. Struggles?
Some of the struggles. Yes. Here we go. Ready?
No. I'm ready.
I think one of the main struggles of being single in ministry is bearing burdens of ministry alone. It can feel very lonely sometimes, mainly struggling to believe the truth about who God is, what he's done and is doing in my life, and how he's working. I think I can get wrapped up into a spiral of lies and doubt and disbelief and really hard times. And I think Satan attacks the single person that way, of feeling like we're isolated and we're all by ourselves. Because truth be told, like, the Lord has given me many great friends who are in ministry, other parachurch ministries, ministry in churches, where I can reach out and when I'm feeling that way. And they can help me bear some of these burdens. Maybe not all of them or in ways that I want, but they can encourage me and hear me out, listen to me, speak truth to me. So I'm getting into the ways that people can help me, or other women in ministry can help. Is just, we all need encouragement. We all need affirmation at times. And so I really need that in certain ways during the hard parts of ministry. Another way is possibly, again, feeling misunderstood or feeling unseen or unknown as the only single around the staff meeting table, or the only single at our retreat that we go to. And so an example of just a hard moment is when we go around and we share updates about us and our lives and then prayer requests, is I find that other staff who are married or married with children are able to give updates on their spouse or updates on their kid, and they don't have to talk about themselves. And I realize that your spouse and your children are very much a part of your life, and that is really good. And I want to hear about them, but I also want to hear how you're doing.
Yeah.
Where I don't have that luxury of hiding behind anyone, I have to share something about me. And so in that way, it feels unfair. It feels like I'm at a disadvantage. I want to care for my married staff. Like, I want to know about them and not just about their awesome family or their spouse.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really helpful. Well, just in closing, I would love for you to give advice. You've been doing parachurch ministry for 13 years. What is some advice you would have for other individuals coming up behind you who are considering doing some sort of parachurch ministry?
I would say, all right, yes, let's do it. No, I would say spend time with the Lord. That has been the best advice given to me, is make sure you spend time with the Lord, that you're cultivating your own relationship with Him first and all throughout. One of my favorite verses and that comes to mind is it's Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. And it's, you know, a beautiful Psalm of David, but of just being in His presence, gazing at His beauty. He's our daily bread, right? Of like just spending time with Him and being fueled by Him, and then going out to do ministry. And the second thing is to rely on the Holy Spirit and His power and strength, because I've done it many days where I'm relying on my own strength and trying to do things in my own power. And it oftentimes leads to failure or burnout just not what the Lord has for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are the top two.
Well, I'm so thankful for what you're doing. You get to, I mean, again, I've said it before, but you get to work with people that most of us will never have access to and meet. And so to know that we have faithful brothers and sisters serving athletes, and that's just one example of a parachurch ministry that we could talk about. I just love that. I love what you are doing. And I say, keep going.
Well, thank you. I love what you're doing. Thanks for encouraging men and women in ministry. I love that God has given you a passion for it and He's using it greatly. And I'm benefiting from it, so I'm super grateful for you.
Well, thanks, Amy.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform, or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.